Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a terrific Thursday today. It's actually quite sunny down here in Sunshine, Florida, as we enjoy this nice cool weather and get ready for another hurricane. But other than that, it's fantastic. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm blessed beyond measure, shaking down, running over as my cup cannot contain it. And it's so funny, too. I've got my niece up in Alabama. I love her. She's a great, great girl. And she called me yesterday. She's all stressed out because she's got a coastal home down here in one of the states, city, on one of the cities down here. And she's just absolutely frantic. And finally, I thought about this. You know, I told her just to calm down. No big deal. She's got insurance on everything. I said, here's the thing. And listen to me, everybody, for a second. If you wonder why I've got such a good attitude about all of this, number one, the joy, the peace that I love, the love that I have, the joy, the peace, and the love that I have, the world did not give that to me, and the world cannot take that away. I want to share that with you guys right now. For all of you guys that are listening and you're a little stressed out about stuff, guys, it doesn't make any difference. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I want everybody to continue to believe the prayer we prayed yesterday. That low pressure zone is going to develop in the Atlantic Ocean. That high is going to go away, and that storm is going to veer radically northeast and go out into the Atlantic Ocean. If you're going to believe anything or see anything or speak anything, please focus on that. It's really important with everything I taught you guys. We all have to be in agreement on all of this stuff, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What's your first story, Oz?
Amen, amen. Well, this one's actually kind of a funny story, but I thought it was a satire at first, but apparently it's not. And I just thought it was funny one to start off with because it just shows you to the level of which CNN literally is straight fake news now. They put an article up yesterday, Harrison sent it to me, and they went on to say that female hurricanes are deadlier than male hurricanes. And this is the first line of the article they have in here. Apparently, sexism isn't just a social problem. If you're in the path of a hurricane, gender bias may still be affecting you. A study suggests people prepare differently for hurricanes depending on whether the storm has a male or female name, and feminine name hurricanes cause significantly more issues, apparently because they lead to a lower perceived risk and less preparedness, because a group experimented and found that people react differently to hypothetical male and hypothetical female names. So, of course, leave it up to CNN to play the sexist card when it comes to hurricanes now. I feel these guys have no end of fake news. They just cook this stuff up in the back room every day. But I thought that was a pretty funny one to start off with, that because it just shows you they have nothing else to talk about except try to provoke more issues by making hurricanes sexist now.
You know, I don't even know what to say, but I believe these guys would do something like this. I mean, it's just everything's about, well, you must be a racist or a sexist, because, you know, I guess if we named the hurricane issue Wanda, then we'd be racist if we didn't think it was going to be bad. I mean, I don't understand what in the world any of this means to anybody. I mean, why does anybody care? It's like you said, they're just trying to come up with stuff to say because they don't have anything to say that's truthful, so nobody wants to listen to it anymore. So they just make up stories trying to get hits on the doggone website. Ugh, ridiculous. Okay. Attacked by rotten tomatoes. Okay. Merkel, by the way, got hit by a tomato the other day, preaching or talking, promoting her little election in a few weeks. But that's not what this is. Rotten Tomatoes is a site that you go to, and it basically tells you whether the movie that you want to go see is awful or if the movie that you want to see basically is good, based upon how many people liked it, if it was fresh or if it was rotten. Hollywood had a horrible summer. Between the first weekend in May and Labor Day, a sequel stuff period that typically accounts for 40% of annual ticket sales, box office and the revenue total in America totaled $3.8 billion, 15% decline from the last year. In fact, you got to go back 20 years to find a lower summer. Now, and they're blaming it on the website that has 30 employees called Rotten Tomatoes, because what they're doing is they're reviewing shows and movies before they hit the theater, and they're telling you if they're awful or if they're good. Now, quite frankly, they're pretty much on cue. Whenever they tell you something's awful, they said that Pirates of the Caribbean was awful. It was awful. They said that Tom Hanks movie that came out about the black, well, all that weird stuff, that it was awful. It was awful. And so they basically threw about 20 of their top movies coming out under the bus, saying these are all awful movies. They've got like a 18 or 19 rating. One of them was, I think, as low as a 7 rating as far as people who liked it. 7% liked it. I mean, and everybody else thought it was rotten. Guys, the problem with Hollywood, newsflash for you Sabbatean, Kabbalist, low-life, Satan-worshipping scum. Here's the deal. Stop making this filthy, nasty crap that nobody wants to see, and maybe your box office proceeds will go back up. Stop trying to use Hollywood as a tool to rewrite the morals and the values of the United States. Everybody's had enough of it, and we're all over it. Quite frankly, we don't want to watch your filth anymore. And if these movies are rotten, I basically don't go to see them. Now, Dunkirk got a great rating, though it didn't do real well at the box office. It was a good movie to watch, though it wasn't quite as historically accurate as it needed to be. It was still a good movie. And, of course, Wonder Woman, that feminist testosterone trip, it basically was a good movie too. It had good acting and a good plot, and it was a pretty good movie. It did real well at the box office, and it also scored really well on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm not a movie critic, but what I will tell you is this. If movies are absolutely awful, and everybody tells you that they're awful, then these big websites will just tell you that they're awful, why do you want to go out and waste your money or your time on them? What do you think, Austin?
No, you're exactly right, and that's what they're getting so frustrated about, because a lot of these movies, they are very deceptive with the previews. They play like the best shots from the entire movie, the best clips, the best action sequences, the funny one-liners, and they put that in the commercial, you know, with the movie trailer that you're going to see, intentionally to try to get you to come see it, because that's what they're trying to do, is, you know, sell as many tickets as they can to the movies. The problem is, you're exactly right. A lot of these movies now that Hollywood produces is garbage. Garbage. It's been a while since I've seen a really, really, really good film. Most of them have so much underlying political agenda or leftist basis on it. It's nauseating to me. I mean, I've walked out of so many different movies. I've been in there and been, give me my money back. I'm not going to watch this trash. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not going to pay you to go watch this crap. I'm going to leave. I'm going to give my money. I'll go eat somewhere and go home. And I've done that numerous times. So has Dad. And the problem is now with Rotten Tomatoes, they actually give you really true, unbiased feedback from all the fans. So you don't have a bunch of these critics like, what was the old one back in the day, Siskel and Ebert?
Yep.
I think that was. They used to have it on TV, and so a lot of times they'd go over the movies. The problem is, you didn't know what these guys, how much money they're getting paid. Half the time, in my opinion, some of the movies they said were great. I remember seeing it on TV, and you're like, oh, it's a good movie. Let's go watch it. You go see it, absolutely horrible. You know, these guys are getting paid 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 grand by the movie producer. Hey, you need to promote this movie. Everybody watches you guys. There's actually real, true reviews now from people that have watched the movies, and Hollywood hates that. The internet has been a double-edged sword for the globalist, from filthy Hollywood, from the leftist agenda, from everything, because yes, they're able to put a lot of garbage out there. They're allowed to use a lot of mind control techniques with so many different ways through the media. But then on the flip side of it, we have this unbiased true news now, like we do here at the Ted and Austin Brower Show, with the Hagman Show, with Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show. And so this stuff's constantly circulating, and people are actually going, we don't have to get our news from CNN to tell us that hurricanes are, you know, sexist or whatever nonsense they have. We can actually get real, real information from this, and that's exactly what's happened. But I saw that the other day that the movies were like the lowest they had ever been in the box office for almost the last 15, 20 years, and that's also become now, too, because of the live streaming online. A lot of people know about this now, is that you can go online and you can hook it up to your TV and you can live stream a lot of videos completely for free. And sometimes guys go and actually bootleg these videos, which I don't recommend and I don't endorse whatsoever. But that's come to a point now where that's gotten very prominent on the internet. So all these things are coming together where people don't want to pay to go see garbage movies, and people would rather save money and stay at home and watch movies on TV for free, and so it's a combination of both of these coming together. So maybe it's a signal, maybe it'll show Hollywood that we don't want a bunch of filthy movies out all the time, we want some decent films, and maybe they'll produce some better stuff there, but who knows with them.
I remember back in 1999, you know, we didn't really go to the movies much back there. We still don't really go to the movies much. And we went to see a movie that was like rated, like it won like Best Picture of the Year, and I forgot what it was rated. It may have been an R-rated movie. I probably shouldn't have gone to it anyhow. And I was, it starred Kevin Spacey. And I'm not going to give you the name of the movie.
American Beauty.
Oh, God. One of the filthiest, filthiest, nastiest, homophobic. I mean, it was a filthy. We walked out. Just walked out. Had enough. And I thought to myself, what a sick, perverse. One of those I got my money back on. I said, what a sick, perverted mind would even write something like this. And please, don't go see that movie. I don't endorse it. It was horrific. It's definitely something a Christian doesn't need to see. And that's, and it won like Best Picture of the Year, if I remember. And that's why Sharon and I went to see it, or it was nominated for Best Picture or whatever. And I thought to myself, can they come up with any more perverted story or dialogue than this nonsense? And apparently they cannot. Everything upside down is what they want. By the way, Oxford scientists have now given African babies, little baby human beings, a trial tuberculosis vaccine that did not work on the monkeys, simply because they're trying to see what it would do to these innocent young children. You know, guys, I don't know what to say when you see stuff like that, when these guys intentionally give these young children immunizations and vaccines that don't work. They know they don't work, but they're just injecting all of this aluminum and all of this mercury and all of this trash into these children just to see what it's going to do. It's got to be a special kind of sick person who does stuff like this. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really sadistic when you see stuff like this. But again, it goes to show you why I warn everybody about vaccines. There is no recourse for these guys. It doesn't matter what they produce. It doesn't matter how toxic it is, how, you know, chemically laden it is. It doesn't matter. They can't get in trouble for it. They literally have no recourse. They can't be sued. The government covers for them, and they basically tell you to go contact the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund from the U.S. government, and you can file it in court and wait years and years and years to find out if you're ever going to get any type of settlement back from the U.S. government. An absolute and total nightmare. Also, too, in another story in Australia, this is one of the first stories I've read that's actually showing the truth about the absolute psychological damage and harm we're doing to this younger generation with this idiotic transgender ideology that is one of the stupidest things I've heard of in years, and the fact that people are pushing it on these kids and allowing these kids to do this is nauseating to me. But this right here, guys, the next story I'm about to talk about in Australia is a perfect example of why you don't let young children try to dictate what their sex is because of what type of manipulation the media, the school, and all these blithering idiots on YouTube are trying to constantly put out there with their ideas about transgender nonsense. An Australian schoolboy who decided to transition to a female has now changed his mind 2 years later once he started getting older. The boy was 12 years old and begged his mother to start taking hormones after the doctor diagnosed him with gender dysphoria, which the doctor said was a condition when a person experiences distress because there's a mismatch between their biological sex and gender identity. But I'm going to stop there for a second before the story goes any further. Doctors like this, honestly, need to be taken out back, and they need to have a stern talking to put it lightly. This type of nonsense that medical doctors think that they can walk around and act like they hung the moon and the stars and project this filth, this unbelievably stupid ideology on children, they have no business being in the medical field. To sit there and say, well, son, you feel like you're a girl today, you definitely have gender dysmorphia, we can help fix you that, we can turn you into a girl. How do you feel about that? What do you think a 12-year-old's going to respond to? They don't know anything. They're 12 years old. Their brain's not even close to being hardened up to reaching concrete rational thought. They're going to say, oh, I have gender dysmorphia. Maybe I am a girl. Maybe I should be on drugs. Maybe I should be on hormones. Yes, let's do it, guys. Let's do it. I don't know what I want to do, but that sounds like a good idea. Unbelievably stupid that these doctors even go this route. But I go on to say here, the boy Mitchell, they did an interview now just recently. He's 15 years old now. And he said, I essentially just had an idea of changing things about me when I was 12. I'd see a girl and be like, yeah, I wouldn't mind looking like that. So after heeding advice from the doctors who suggested it was the right choice, his mother was supportive, and Mitchell began to transition. Now, it doesn't say anything about a father in here, so I'm assuming he was being raised by his mother, because that's all it refers to is his mother in here. He basically grew out his hair, he started taking hormones, and his body started to grow breasts. Now, 2 years later, Mitchell has had a change of heart. This year now, teachers at school began to refer to him as a girl, which made Mitchell question if he had actually made the right decision. He said, I began to realize I was actually quite comfortable being a male, and every day I thought that it was becoming abnormal to want to become a girl. Imagine that. You're getting older now. Your brain's actually starting to harden up. As a result, Mitchell confided in his mother and explained he wanted to transition back into a boy. Now, in a bid to revert back to his original body, he stopped taking the medication, and now is having an operation to remove the breast tissue. It was basically gynecomastia surgery, when he's going to further try to replace all this now, and hopefully he hasn't done long-term damage to his endocrine system as far as for the testicular function and testosterone production now that he's 15. But this right here is a perfect example of why you don't make little children allow them to make these decisions, and why the whole agenda with these transgenders and the media and the globalists trying to push this is clearly nothing more than trying to completely damage and subvert the entire younger generation into this polluted, disgusting ideology and thinking it's okay, Dad.
You know, today I had some pipe brought over the house, some irrigation pipe, and the young man who delivered it was 29 years old. He's your age, and his dad is 62 years old, and he basically is my age. And so I talked to him for a few minutes, and he started discussing with me, and I started talking to him about chemtrails and geoengineering, and he goes, well, that's what my dad says too. And I said, your dad's right. And I said, so if you want to listen to a talk show that's completely and totally politically incorrect, that would be my son's and my show. He's 29 and I'm 62, and your dad would probably enjoy it too. You may learn a few things about it. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of that is this. Our show is going to go places where nobody else is going to go or talk about. And I told him, I said, we don't do that. We call it out for what it is. When I saw a show a few years ago with Katie Couric, or maybe, and I think it was Barbara Walters, that sick, weirdo, perverted nightmare. She was basically doing an interview with a bunch of lesbian women and homosexual men who had adopted children. And here's what they found. And this was interesting. And they didn't bring this to the attention of anybody, but I saw this. Every single lesbian couple that had adopted a little boy, and that little boy was gay, everyone, 100%, all of them. Every single homosexual couple that had adopted a little boy, the little boy was straight. He liked girls. Every one of them. Now, what happens is when young boys are raised in a non-father environment in which they don't have the father to draw energy from and power from, and they don't have the father to model after, what ends up happening is they start modeling after their mother. I've seen it over and over and over, and they develop feminine characteristics. Now, that doesn't mean they're gay. That just means that that's the only model figure they have. The problem is, if that mother is openly lesbian with another lesbian person living with her, they have a tendency to really be pushed towards becoming homosexuals because they're encouraged to do so by their parents, the lesbians. Now, you think, well, this is all messed up. Yeah, you're right. It is all messed up. Years ago, I also remember I was watching another show when I used to watch TV. I forgot which channel it was on. It may have been a Dateline show. I don't remember. But the little boy, this is back when they were actually telling the truth about some of this stuff, a little boy was being circumcised, and the doctor messed up and cut off his penis. Now, guys, I'm not even making this stuff up, okay? And what they ended up doing, they ended up saying, okay, what we're going to do is basically turn him into a little girl. And then, remember, he's got a Y chromosome, but it didn't make any difference. They convinced the parents that they were going to go ahead and remove his genitalia, his penis, and his testicles, and they were going to turn him into a little girl, and that he would be fine like that. And they would do the surgery necessary because of their mistake of cutting off the little boy's penis, that they were going to be able to basically turn him into a little girl. Well, 15 years later, the little boy's starting to like, you know, little girls, and he's a girl, and he's starting to want to play with trucks, and doesn't want to wear dresses, and he's like, what the heck's going on with me? So finally, the mother had to come in and tell him what had happened when he was being circumcised, and of course, the kid just had a complete and totally emotional meltdown. Now, here's the sad part about all of this. That can't be fixed. He was already castrated. His penis had been cut off the rest of the way. There was no way to go back and fix it back to the way it was. And that's why these transgenders, these people who do these surgeries and have these feelings about themselves and they're not corrected when they're young, what ends up happening is they have up to a 40% suicide rate. 40% suicide rate. Now, guys, that's not okay. That's incredibly high. There's nothing normal about a 40% suicide rate. And, guys, it never ever ends with these guys, because throughout their entire lives they're having to deal with it as long as they're going to live. Now, you kind of wonder, you know, if you'd have told me back in the 60s with Bruce Jenner that he was going to go ahead and transition into a woman back in the 60s, I would tell you that you were complete Looney Tunes. If you were going to tell me that we were going to have a Kenyan who's gay with a transvestite wife in the White House, I'd have told you that you're smoking dope and something's wrong with you, guys. But this is where they've taken us to. Now, Bruce Jenner, I personally believe, and I don't know, this is my opinion now, that he's a victim of some type of mind control from the New World Order, that they messed with his head so much that he decided to do all of this stuff. Because, guys, he was like a decathlon athlete. People don't know who he is. He was on the Wheaties boxes. He was like one of the top male athletes in the world. And there's no way, in my opinion, that a guy who's that macho, who's that muscled up, would want to go in and turn himself into a little girl. Now, the sad part about all of this stuff is that, you know, it's something that we're talking about and kids are being encouraged to do, even though these blithering idiot teachers that are encouraging this, in most cases they know it's up to a 40% suicide rate for these guys and girls that decide to do this. This is not healthy. There's nothing about any of this that's healthy. And guys, we need to encourage our boys to be boys. We need to encourage our girls to be girls, and we need to teach them that there's a difference between the sexes and not allow these stinking globalists to lie to these young children. That's why I'm a big advocate of homeschool. That's why you're homeschooling your children, Austin. That's why we homeschooled all four of our children except for a couple of years of private Christian school, which ended up being a giant mistake. And so I'm really, really happy when I hear it and talk to parents who don't immunize, whose children are being raised as Christians at home without having to be dealing with all of this nonsense and all of these insane lies that these guys do on an ongoing basis, trying to continue to pervert the culture of the United States, Austin. And that's my little rant for the day. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is, man. It's exactly what it is. But also, too, in other news as well, as far as with the trying to completely decline the population's mental health as well, new studies just come out, survey from the U.S. Center for Disease Control, a survey in which showed now antidepressants are continuing to rise sharply, especially among children. They're saying now the number of people who've taken antidepressants have soared some 65% in the last 15 years. On the data on here, it says, according to the latest statistics, use of antidepressants in the U.S. rose by 65% between 99 and 2014. Now nearly 1 in 8 Americans, 13% of the population, over the age of 12 is on some type of antidepressant medication. 1 in 6 women report antidepressant use compared to 1 in 11 men. Also, too, about 1/4 of those who have taken an antidepressant in the last month on the survey reported being on them for 10 years or more now. Also, Caucasians were more than 3 times likely to use antidepressants than blacks, Hispanics, or Asians. Caucasians being at 16.5%, blacks at 5.6%, Hispanics at 5%, and Asians at 3.3%. The United States leads the world now in the consumption of antidepressants, followed closely by Iceland. They also said in Scotland now, researchers have shown that over the last 5 years, the age of antidepressants, the children under the age of 12 using antidepressants, has quadrupled now in the last 5 years. So this is another issue that a lot of times nobody wants to address again. And the reason why is because the first thing the doctors do when you come into the doctor's office, I don't know, I don't feel good, I'm feeling down. Oh, you need Prozac right now. You need to go on antidepressants. That's that. We can't have that. You don't want to feel down. You definitely don't want to do that. Bam, another prescription. You guys got to remember, majority of these doctors get in some way some type of incentive or kickback on the more prescription drugs that they write scripts for. They do. You do your own research on that. The same thing with the vaccine companies. So there's a reason why the pharmaceutical companies are making hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year off these drugs, and the number of people on antidepressants every single year is continuing to rise and rise higher. That's why I always tell people there's so many good natural approaches you can go for. If you got questions about it, give us a call. Some of the base supplements we always start on are the cod liver oil, the B vitamins, and the ultimate multiple. And if you're not on any medications, you can throw in the 5-HTP, which is so important. But please do yourself a favor and look at the natural approaches first. Try our stuff out for a couple months. That's what I always tell people, and I say it on the show all the time, but I'm going to say it again. The natural approach is there to try it. If you try the natural approach, guys, and you exhaust every single opportunity, every single nutrient that you can try, and it's still not working, which is very, very rare from what I've seen, the medical model is still there to fall back on. Don't start off with the medical model first. It's kind of like if you're going to cut something and you need a small knife, you find out, yeah, the small little knife worked perfect first. You didn't need to use anything else. Well, instead, most people go right to the pharmaceuticals and they go, oh, I need to cut this little piece of rope. I'm going to pull my 30-inch chainsaw out and go berserk on it. And they end up cutting down everything and wrecking everything around them and trash the whole building out because they needed to cut a little line. That's what happens a lot of times, and it becomes much, much harder to fix the issue when you've been on these pharmaceuticals for so long instead of just starting with the base nutrients that your body needs and requires and fixes the root problem right from the beginning instead of going berserk with a lot of these pharmaceuticals, Deb.
You're absolutely right, Austin. One study that was done just a few years ago showed that just using omega-3 fats like cod liver oil worked better for mild to moderate forms of depression than Prozac did with none of the side effects, except you also made your blood thinner, which made you have a healthier cardiovascular system, and you increased and made your HDL cholesterol better, and you felt better, and you got less joint pain and aches. And if I don't take my cod liver oil, you know, at least 4 or 5 times a week, I start feeling it in my hips. And, you know, because I've had back surgery, I have to be careful with my lower back, and I can't cantilever when I pick things up. I mean, I had the full L5, L6, L4, L5 decompressive laminectomy back in 1989. I mean, I was like under the knife, whittling away on my spine. And by the grace of God alone and by the skill of an incredible surgeon, Dr. Mahan, who's dead now, may he rest in peace, I came out of that thing smelling like a rose, because a lot of people don't. About half the people that have that surgery are never able to be right again. So there are all kinds of natural things that you can do. In fact, I was speaking to another man today who's tall. He's about 6'6". He's got scoliosis. Got a lot of joint and bone problems, and really very unhealthy person. Drinks about 6 full-blown high fructose corn syrup Pepsis every day, which is like a pound of sugar every day or whatever he's putting in the body, half a pound. And the nuttiest part about all this, he's having real bad bone problems, real bad hip problems, real bad joint problems from all the sugar and all the carbonic acid and all of these sodas that actually leach the calcium out of the bones and basically destroy your bone structure. And so I told him, the guy's in his 50s, and I said to him, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. I've talked to you about this for years. And I said, when are you going to start taking care of yourself? When are you going to stop acting like you're a teenager? I mean, really, dude? I mean, how long do you think your body can just completely be neglected like this and drink these things and not have all kinds of health problems? And the other day, his back was hurting so bad, he ended up taking like 8 BC powders, and he started a couple hours later, started coughing up blood. I mean, guys, if you're in your 40s and 50s, you can't act like you're a teenager. I mean, salicylic acid with aspirin is extremely poisonous and toxic, and it really needs only to be used if it's a last resort, if you really have to use something as an analgesic. But you should never take aspirin every single day, because it will cause bleeding in the intestines, like we saw with this gentleman, and it will also cause the retina to detach from the back of the eye. It's called wet macular degeneration. It can make you go blind. There's all kinds of natural things, the vitamin E, the cod liver oil, that you can take every single day that'll help keep that blood thin, and it won't, you know, so you don't have to be taking, you know, the aspirin to thin the blood. Natural things do a lot better job. By the way, we were right. We called it the other day. This is what I believe is the main problem with everything that they're doing with Russia and with the sanctions with Russia. China is now moving on the New World Order with Russia, and it says it will buy oil with gold-backed Chinese currency that is now bypassing the U.S. petrodollar, Beijing, China, in an effort to hedge against it. I told you guys weeks ago this was going on.
Yep.
In an effort to hedge against the U.S. hegemony and what could be a global game changer, the world's top oil importer, China, is preparing to denominate crude oil future contracts in Chinese yuan to be convertible into gold. The move would allow oil exporting countries to bypass benchmarks denominated in U.S. petrodollars, creating what will certainly be the most critical Asian oil benchmark, according to the report by Nikkei Asian Review. Wow. This is exactly what I told you was going on. Russia's been working them with this. This is why Trump's talking about sanctions on China. This is why Trump's already put sanctions on Russia. All of it has to do with the fact that they don't want to be buying and selling their oil or their products any longer in petrodollars. Guys, we called it out here at least a month ago. What do you think, son?
Yeah, we did. This is what we talked about. That was my biggest concern with it, because we couldn't figure out why in the world they would go with such aggressive sanctions on Russia like they did, because it was an act of war. And this is pretty much, from my opinion, where this is headed now, because the globalists do not want to lose control of the U.S. dollar or the petrodollar. They do not want to do it. So the sanctions was the first step in trying to prevent this from happening. If we place sanctions on China, not only is it going to be a serious issue economically, it's probably going to provoke China pretty significantly, to the point where it'll probably induce some type of war, and that's really what the globalists want to do. And if they can have a precipitating incident like that, they can say, well, we did the sanctions because we were trying to protect America. We were trying to protect our dollar, which they already know they've ruined our dollar. We've lost like 99% of its value since 1913 when the Federal Reserve Bank came in. That's not coincidence at all. So this is where it's headed, but that makes a lot more sense now why they're doing this. But in my opinion, in my personal opinion, for China and Russia, I can't blame them at all on their end, because I wouldn't want to deal with the Rothschilds and their Federal Reserve Banks anymore with the petrodollar and the complete manipulation and control of the U.S. dollar with everything, Dad. So we expected it to go this way, and it looks like it's going this way.
Well, everybody's had enough of these Rothschilds dominating the entire currency market for the past 150, 200 years since the Napoleonic Wars. They're tired of it.
Yeah.
They don't want to mess with us anymore. They're tired of dealing with these losers that are a bunch of Satanists. Speaking of losers who are Satanists, I saw this article and I wasn't going to talk about it, but it segued into losers with Satanists. This is an actress disturbingly boasts to a cheering audience that her first abortion at 19 was her best abortion. Now, I'm saying this to you guys because I want you to understand the mindset of these weirdos. Actress Martha Plimpton told a cheering Seattle audience, has to be Seattle with Starbucks, audience that her first abortion at age 19 was her best abortion. Plimpton spoke at a Shout Your Abortion event in Seattle back in June, probably recalling an event that many would agree is traumatic and emotional, not something to celebrate. Seattle has some particular significance for me for lots of reasons, she said. I've got a family tree here, some of whom are here in the audience tonight. I also had my first abortion here at the Seattle Planned Parenthood. I mean, these people can go straight to they can go straight to hell. I'm so over these people. These people are so stinking sick, Austin, that sometimes you think hell's going to be too good for these people. I mean, who in the world, she's 46 years old, and she's celebrating the murder of her first child, you know, 30 years later. Weirdos, sickos, nightmare Satanists, all these people are, and they look at this as an act of like Luciferian worship, and they actually relish in it, and they wallow in it, and they believe that it's something they've done that's good, and these people nauseate me, son. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sick, man. I can't go much into that. It's going to get me pretty fired up. But yeah, you pretty much nailed it on the head. That's exactly how they are. That's how they act. And, my opinion, they're going to get a special place in hell with that type of behavior and that type of attitude and glorifying murder, especially murdering an innocent child. It's pretty sick. This other story though now too, it seems as if there's constantly another reason or another excuse to start genetically modifying human beings now. We talk about this all the time. Now, a new article out from the Acmus Post says human beings may need to be genetically modified for space travel now. And this is a legit article. Like they went into detail on this. It says humans could be prevented from going to Mars due to our immune system, because that would be a really bad thing, because, you know, it would be horrible if we couldn't travel back and forth to Mars all the time. According to a scientist who wrote in the study in the Nature for Scientific Reports, the team of researchers from Russian Canada analyzed the effects of microgravity on protein and blood samples of 18 Russian astronauts who lived in the International Space Center for 6 months and found changes in their immune system. The results showed that the weightlessness, their immune system acts like it does when the body is infected, because the body doesn't know what to do and tries to turn on all possible defense systems. The scientists found that the blood proteins change as the immune system alters the blood. Now, this is accurate. They know when you go weightless for long periods of time, you start hemorrhaging muscle tissue. It's not healthy for the body at all. But in my opinion, it's kind of like we probably aren't really designed to be up there. There may be a reason why God designed us like that. Maybe we don't need to be floating around weightless for 6 months at a time. Just my opinion. But But then the scientist goes on to hear, and here's what they say. They've discussed now creating genetically modified human beings to overcome the challenges. Researcher Christopher Mason, a member of the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at Cornell Medicine, has proposed of what he called the 500-year plan to get humans exploring the cosmos. In his plan, genetic modification of the human genome plays a huge role. And I quote, this is what he said. I think we have to really start considering it for people that we send to other planets. We don't know if it's a slight nudge to existing gene expression or a whole new chromosome or finally a complete rewriting of the genetic code. That right there, guys, should give you very, very clear indication what these guys have in store for everybody. They're using this as an excuse now to bring this to light about us traveling through space and traveling to Mars, when in instance, you actually know this is what the real goal is. Now they want to try and make it mainstream on why they have an excuse of why they've been studying and doing all this stuff to human beings, including rewriting the entire genetic code, Dad. So I thought that was pretty wild. Now this is going mainstream as an excuse to start genetically modifying human beings.
Transhumanism. I mean, we've talked about it for years on the show. I mean, this is what they want to do to all of us. They want to tie us into the Internet of Things, and they want to turn the entire planet into a giant electrical grid. They, by the way, they have almost completed the space fence. They want to do all of this to basically turn us into cyborgs, so to speak, to put us into a hive mind. I'm going to repeat, like a Borg hive mind, in which they control every thought and every action. Remember what the Bible said? Think about what it said in Genesis chapter 6. Every thought of every man was evil all the time. How could you do that without a hive mind? How could that be possible without a hive mind? When they're pumping this information into your hive mind. Think through these things they say in the Bible, and now they want to put us back into a hive mind. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, when every thought of every man was evil all the time. If you paraphrase back from the Old Testament scripture saying what it was in the times of Noah. Think through this for a second. Hive mind. They've got to tie us all into the Internet of Things so they can send down direct programming from their D-Wave Alpha computer tied directly into Lucifer's domain through the Internet of Things into your chromosomes, into your DNA uplink receiver to God. They're going to hack into it and force you to do what they want you to do and become evil in everything that you do all the time. My response is, no thank you. You guys take your whacked out stuff and go somewhere else down the road with it. By the way, Hollywood producers now being questioned over claims that he has bribed the career criminal Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister. Aaron Michael, a media mogul and Hollywood producer behind the Pretty Woman movie, says he is now being charged and being questioned over bribing the Israeli prime minister. Milken, who has emerged as a key figure in one of a series of police investigations swirling around the career criminal Netanyahu, was interviewed under caution in the criminal investigation case, known as Case 1000, for the first time after reports he previously admitted to police he had given Benjamin Netanyahu and his wife extremely extravagant gifts. The Israeli-born Milken reportedly spoke to police on two previous occasions, as well as providing documentary evidence, including receipts of the gifts given to the Netanyahus. He then denied the gifts were part of any improper quid pro deal during his 3 hours of questioning in London, according to the Israeli media. Netanyahu's office again denied any wrongdoing, insisting the gifts represented tokens between longstanding friends. Any attempt to read anything improper into the deep and longstanding friendship basically is baseless, they're saying. Guys, this guy is a complete and total bum. As far as I'm concerned, I've read too much stuff about Benjamin Netanyahu. I believe that he is a Sabbatean Kabbalist, or he would not be where he is. That means he's a practicing Luciferian Satanist, and he's in charge of Israel, and he's the prime minister over there. That's why the conservative groups in Israel, who know who and what he is, they want him out of office. The problem is Israel is a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire due to the Balfour Declaration, and the Rothschild Sabbatean Kabbalists want this Sabbatean Kabbalist in power. There, I called it out. You guys can say, I agree with you, I don't agree with you. That's how I look at it. I've had it with all these weirdos, Austin. If we can't keep letting these guys do what they're doing, why do we think they're going to do anything else, son?
No, I know. That's there's no question about it. It's definitely these guys are on a whole nother level of the elite players club as far as they really just they get to do whatever they want. They kind of get a free pass to do anything they want, and I really hope that he's brought to account if he's really been involved in all this, which I think he has. But the issue we all know is these guys usually have so many strings and so many, you know, dead man switches, if we refer to, that a lot of times they have so much dirt on everyone else that if somebody tries to come in and indict them or prosecute them, they usually let them know how the world is going to work, as we've seen with Hillary Clinton, why she is still not in prison, which boggles my mind, but makes very, very, very clear sense if you know exactly how the whole game is played with these guys, because they're not, none of them are. They're not going to go down quietly. They know that if they're going to go down, they're bringing everybody down with them. And I remember that one, I think he was either a writer or he was a reporter or somebody who had been in the government before, and he was talking about the information. He said if the actual syndicate, the Clinton crime syndicate, is ever exposed on what it is, it would literally take down the United States government because of how much dirt it has on almost everybody up there. And that's probably exactly what's going on with him. So they're probably either going to make this guy disappear that's talking about this, or they're going to pay him off, or they're just going to make everybody disappear. Who knows? But when you get people on this level with this type of power, they usually don't go quietly. They make sure that everybody comes down with them when they're being caught for what they're doing.
Well, I said this 2 years ago, or actually a year and a half ago, and I remember we got some emails about it, about how I said they can't take Hillary down because it'll take down half the government. It probably, in fact, it would probably crash the entire government because you'd lose so many top officials. And I remember we had somebody email us a letter and go, I didn't think you were accurate. But then after we learned about the soul cooking with Podesta and everything going on with Hillary and her witchcraft and her sacrificing a chicken to Moloch in the backyard, all the stuff that she writes about me. I mean, who talks like that, okay? I think it's time to get the old rabbit's foot out of the attic and go out in the backyard and sacrifice a chicken to Moloch. Who says stuff like that besides the wicked witch of Benghazi? And see, this is the problem that we have. We have sat here and tolerated it and tolerated it and tolerated it, and now she knows where all the bodies are buried, including all the ones she killed, which, by the way, another one of her top guys died last week. We didn't even cover that story. It's gotten to the point they've killed so many in her doggone syndicate now that talking about it's like redundancy. They keep dying and dropping dead, everybody who knows what's going on with her. Anyhow, she said she's another one of those whack bags. By the way, here's another article on Gardasil. We try to give you a Gardasil update whenever you see it. This is sad. Gardasil killed my 16-year-old daughter, and she died the most excruciating, painful death. Her name was Gabby Larkin. And this, they have an image for her on Health Impact News off from Facebook, and it says the Vax team was recently in Australia where they interviewed Patrice Lacar Larkin, the mother of Gabby Larkin, who died at the age of 16. Like so many other of the Gardasil horror stories, Gabby was athletic and active prior to receiving the Gardasil vaccine. After the Gardasil shot, she developed a headache that would not go away. 3 weeks later, she developed excruciating pains on her right side. Finally, she was diagnosed with a very rare form of ovarian cancer. The tumor burst, and they removed her right ovary. She began chemotherapy almost immediately. A short time later, she died in excruciating pain. Guys, I don't know how to say this to you. Number one, Gardasil doesn't work. It doesn't prevent anything and has horrible side effects. The lead researcher who did the research on Gardasil announced at a conference last year that it didn't work. The whole thing was a lie. Please don't give this to your children. Please don't give this to your girls or your boys who are trying to mandate it now. Guys, it's one of those things. It's not worth the risk, buddy. In fact, that was one of the big things with Rick Perry when he was running for president out of Texas, Austin. I said, I will never vote for Rick Perry because he wants mandatory Gardasil vaccines throughout Texas. Unbelievable. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, no, it is. The issue with a lot of that whole entire Gardasil epidemic now we're seeing is because these girls are getting it so young. Their bodies aren't developed, and so the ovaries and everything, they can't handle that amount of stress of what they're injecting into the body. And it's just, it's not something I ever recommend, period, at all, no matter what. I've gotten multiple emails on it all the time. The actual chance of developing cervical cancer if you have a healthy diet and you keep your body strong and healthy is super rare. It's super rare. The only thing other than that is catching basically HPV, which you can get STD from, which is basically like genital warts, something like that, which, I mean, that's an issue. But to me, you know, you really don't need to be sleeping around with everybody, and just being honest, and you need to be smarter and more Christian about that. But secondly, if that does happen to you, that's not the end of the world. Having the risk of injecting your child with an unbelievably known toxic vaccine that causes all types of health issues, and the good possibility that it's going to cause those health issues, and the really likelihood that it's not even going to work, as I talked about in that article 3 weeks ago, they were doing the study on it, and they found that a lot of these girls now that have had this stuff have still been able to develop HPV, they've still caught it, and a lot of them have still gotten cervical cancer. So not only does the Gardasil vaccine not work at all, it's unbelievable. Unbelievably toxic and deadly, and in my opinion, should not be used by anybody for any reason whatsoever. That stuff needs to be off the market. It should have been off the market. It shouldn't even be there anymore. I don't even know why they're still pushing it. So, oh, other news as well. Over in Britain now, the failing UK health system, the British National Health System now, is now going to start giving Amazon Echoes away for free to basically retired individuals that are on the healthcare system. The UK Daily Mail now is... Hampshire County will begin a new trial run receiving Amazon Echoes in their home to remind them when to take their medication, alert them to appointments with their caregivers, monitor their liquid consumption by means of motion sensors, yes, that's correct, and enforce fitness schedules with suggestions for walking routes, presumably all tasks that real-life humans would previously been responsible for. The Hampshire County Council has teamed up with Argentina Telehealthcare Partnership. It's partnering delivering technology to users' homes, and of course, internet giant Amazon to make this trial happen. The authority has received £50,000 or $64,000 roughly from the local government association. So now they're giving out Amazon Echoes for free so they can further control what people are doing, monitor what they're doing, and in this case, remind them to take their medication and alert them of appointments and monitor their liquid consumption and essentially remind them when it's time to drink water and do other things. This is just another way to slowly slide the AI in very, very subtly so you can continue to monitor and control people's daily lives with AI systems like Alexa with this Echo from Amazon, which you guys already know I completely disagree with. I have not bought one, will not bought one, nor do I endorse one whatsoever. I think they're extremely dangerous when it comes to privacy, and not only that, you're giving up pretty much all of your legal privacy rights when you buy one of these things. You hand it all over to Amazon to monitor you at any given time. I hate that nonsense, Deb.
Wow. Yeah, so do I, Austin. ISIS, by the way, is now urging supporters to poison food at U.S. grocery stores. This is from Tyler Durden. After urging its supporters in the West to turn cars into weapons, guidance that inspired terrorist attacks in the U.K., Spain, and France, ISIS is now calling for sympathizers to poison the food in U.S. supermarkets with cyanide, according to this particular site. In recent days, channels associated with the terrorist army have posted calls for attacks on Europe, Russia, and the U.S. to mark the occasion of the Islamic sacrifice feast. In this third part of the English-speaking series on jihad, ISIS advised its would-be attackers to inject food for sale in markets with cyanide poison, according to Spezza. The organization has tested these methods in prisons, causing horribly painful deaths. The Islamic State used prisoners as human guinea pigs, carrying out chemical weapons experiments in order to plan for attacks against the West. Aside from the obvious death toll we imagine as a terror attack in an American grocery store would annihilate billions in grocery stock market cap, adding to the industry's whole food market-inspired woes, investors who once saw grocers as an oasis in a troubled sector are increasingly balking now that Amazon has promised to use sensors and automation to save on staffing costs. Guys, this is a major, major, major problem that we have with these radical Islamists. Now, I'm going to do one thing here that I normally don't do, but I'm going to say this. These guys are not typical Muslims who are living in the United States. I mean, number one, where are they planning on getting cyanide from, number one? Number two, who does stuff like this? The vast majority of the people that I know in the United States who are Muslims, who have integrated into our society, are good people. I'm just going to say that. But these that they're talking to here, These are the radical Islamic folks that are basically jihadists that want to get their virgins in heaven, and they really don't care if they die or how many Americans they kill. Guys, this is why Donald Trump said, we've got to keep these people over there, not bring them over here by the hundreds of thousands every month until we can vet this mess out and find out who and what these guys believe in, Austin. What do you think?
Whew, yeah, that's exactly what we need to be doing, 100%. Also, too, now, slowly but surely, we're seeing increasingly clear that the public workers in states with massively underfunded pensions are now being lied to. Now, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, this points out even more, fears over potential pension changes in Kentucky have resulted in a surge of early retirements as workers move to lock in payouts to basically salvage what they have left. The Lexington Herald leader reported that there was a 20% jump in state worker retirements last month. And as we pointed out last week, Kentucky public pensions face a dawning funding hole of $84 billion, depending on your discount rate assumptions, according to the recent analysis. So this is what you're seeing all over the place. We talked about this up in Detroit. This is going on in Kentucky. It's going on in numerous other states. The problem is the underfunded liabilities of pensions in states like Kentucky and other ones have become so incredibly large that massive increases in annual contributions, taxpayer dollars, and other aspects of cuts can't possibly offset the liability growth and annual payouts, all while the funding for these ever-increasing annual contributions comes out of budgets for things like public schools, even though the incremental funding has no shot of fixing a system that is essentially too big to fail. So in Kentucky now, they brought in a PFM consultant, a pension consultant, who now has said, if you guys want to fix this, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to include freezing current pension plans, slashing benefit payments for current retirees, and converting future employees to 401k are somewhat less than perfectly acceptable, but that's what you're going to have to do. He also recommended increasing the retirement age to at least 65 and to cut payments to existing retirees and force most current and future hires into 401 state style retirement plans. The consultant also recommended taking away all cost of living benefits that state and local government retirees received from 96 in 2012, a move that would massively cut the monthly checks for these retirees received. Guys, this is horrible, and this is what they're wanting to do over there now. It's the only thing they can figure out how to do to actually keep this thing going. This is the issue we're running into now. These pension systems are coming home to roost. People talked about them back in the 80s and 90s, but nobody took it seriously. But now this stuff over the last 40, 50 years has actually caught up to itself, and these state pensions and government pensions and a lot of these other businesses too can't stay solvent with this stuff. They're completely out of control, and there's really nothing else they can do except starting to cut this stuff back gradually, or else this is going to be a point where nobody's going to have a pension at all. It's very sad because a lot of these people work hard and put a lot of money into this stuff, but this is why I always tell you guys, never put all of your eggs in one basket. Always have multiple different investments that you can rely on to back up that are very sturdy. That's why I always say, put some money in silver and gold. Always have backup metals as far as your precious metals as assets to rely back on. Don't rely on saying, hey, I'm going to get a pension from the company, I'm not going to have to work. Because as you're seeing now all across the country, this is being a repetitive cycle all over the place, Dad. And it's really sad, but they've been talking about it for years now, and now it's actually starting to come home.
You know, you can't have a small town that has 100 employees, you know, with 5,000 people living in the town, give a pension that's going to be almost equivalent of the salary of the person after they've worked there for 20 years for that person's life, unless you continue to raise the tax base. In other words, you keep charging more and more and more property taxes. Now, we've seen a lot of that here locally where the tax base is continually raised because all of the legacy costs. Or I would do it another way also. I would simply, if someone wouldn't have worked for you for 20 years and they want to draw retirement, I would tell them they weren't going to be eligible for the retirement until they were 65 years old. So if they start at the age of 40 or 20 years old, they work for you until they're 40 years old, they can't sit around in retirement until they're 65 or 25 more years. Now, a lot of them have started implementing that. So it's one, the only person that likes to do that is the government with the military. You work for 20 years in the military and get shot up with who knows what poison. And then at the age of 40, you can actually retire and draw, you know, income from the government the rest of your life. Now, I've seen that too. And that's some pretty hazardous duty pay. But even that causes massive, massive deficits in the long run, especially when you run large military operations like we do in the United States. So yes, one of those things that they have to really look at and pay attention to. By the way, over 150 evangelical leaders have now signed a Nashville statement affirming God's design for marriage, sexuality, and gender. And I don't really know what to say about all of this, is that, but this is the thing. We don't have to affirm the work of God or the Bible. It doesn't need our affirmation. You know, God's word is absolutely clear, and if these pastors in the pulpits would get some testosterone going and probably go on our alpha male stack, which they probably need to take desperately, Austin, and start realizing that they can do something that will actually correct this, get in the pulpit and start talking to their people about this and make a big deal about it, get on national TV, national talk shows, and start talking about this stuff and standing firm in the Word of God and what is being done to our country, and get off of their pulpits, so to speak, in other words, where they don't want to speak about any of the things that are being done to the United States or to the population or any of this stuff. Signing a simple statement isn't strong enough for any of this. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your continued prayers. Thank you so much for believing me with me that this storm is going to be out in the Atlantic Ocean, and that's all you're seeing. That's all you're believing. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We're still fully 100% functional, operational, and getting all of our orders out immediately here at the office. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for being our friends. And thank you for listening. God bless you guys. Austin, I'll go ahead and write up the summary of the show today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, we appreciate all the support, and thank you for the emails. I've got a lot of people asking us about what we have going on. We'll be here. We'll be doing the show Friday, and hopefully we'll be doing it on Monday as well, unless we have, you know, power issues. But other than that, we'll be here. Be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. We're still getting all orders out. We'll probably even come in on Saturday and pack boxes just to make sure we stay up on everything for next week. And the product of the week, the thyroid support, be sure to check that out, guys. That's a very, very popular product for the thyroid. I don't run it all the time. I do run it when I've been ready, getting ready for contests or dieting down. The reason why is it massively increases the body's conversion of T4 into T3. Last time I got blood work when I was running this product, my T3 levels were actually in the very high range, which is where I wanted them to be, because it massively burns body fat. And as long as you're taking products like Muscle Blast and eating a good amount of protein and fit food, you'll maintain a significant amount of muscle tissue even while you diet. But that just shows you how impressive this product was on my blood work levels. So guys, be sure to check that product out, on sale now on the website, and anything else at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.